Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once-in-a-lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
We started the 2 o'clock hour with this conversation and want to make sure that we get it in on the Calgary Flames Roundtable as well. Who was the Calgary Flames regular season most valuable player? Regular season MVP for the Flames as we kick off the roundtable. Peter Klein at his place. Pat Steinberg here at our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. And now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, completes our Flames roundtable. Willsy, the floor is yours. Who was the Calgary Flames regular season MVP?
Well, I was listening to you guys talk about it earlier today, and I must admit, I've flip-flopped a couple times since hearing that conversation. So my initial thought was Elias Lindholm. But then after hearing you plead Matthew Tkachuk's case, I kind of swung over to his side. But then I looked at all the numbers, and I've come back around and settled in on Elias Lindholm, with Matthew Tkachuk being a close second. Here's why. I think Elias Lindholm was the Flames' most consistent skater this season. He was playing primarily on the right side of a line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. And as we talked about on yesterday's Daily Flames Roundtable, those two guys for a good chunk of the season weren't as dangerous, weren't as productive as we're used to them being. So I think Lindholm had to do not only a lot of heavy lifting defensively playing with those two guys, but offensively as well. And then when you take a little closer look at the numbers, so Tkachuk leads the team in points, but Lindholm leads the team in goals. And in the Flames' 36 wins this season, this might be a stat that surprises some, Elias Lindholm scored the game-winning goal 7 times. He's tied for 5th in the NHL in game-winning goals this season. So he scored the game-winning goal in 20%, or just under 20%, of the Flames' wins this season. So wins were a little bit harder to come by for the Flames in 2019-2020 than they were in 2018-2019. Every win matters. A couple less wins, who knows who they're playing in the qualifying round for the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've got a tough opponent in the Jets, but could have potentially been even tougher for them. So every win was important. Every point was important. Matthew Tkachuk, I think at times, wasn't as engaged as he can be. It's difficult to be that way for 82 games or even the number of games the Flames played this season. So between that and the fact that I think Elias Lindholm was as consistent as any skater on the team, any player on the team, really, and had all those big game-winning goals for the club, all lean in his direction as the Flames' shortened season MVP.
Yeah, that's where I went as well, was Elias Lindholm. I just look at the impact he had as this team's first-line center for a lot of the year, and when he wasn't that, he was a first-line right-winger who had a lot of defensive responsibilities that a center would have anyway. There is very little argument to make against Matthew Tkachuk. It is all an argument for Elias Lindholm. I think he turned himself into a number one center this year and turned himself into a big piece of the Flames core moving forward. And I think he provided a lot of value for this team on a line with a couple guys who were listed yesterday in our most disappointing players of the year.
There were three for me. Lindholm was my initial guy. Like when I knew we were talking about this, I knew I was going to throw this out on the show today, yesterday. And so I was just, I'm like, yeah, Lindholm. But then I was doing the research, and so I went with Tkachuk, and I'll tell you why in a second. But there were three guys for me. Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Mark Giordano were the three guys that were in the conversation and all very close for me. The reason I go with Tkachuk is I think that he was the guy that if you were to take him away from this team, the team would suffer the most. Leading scorer, emotional, kind of pot stirrer, and the guy that when he's going right, I think the team feeds off most this season. And if you were to take what he's done this year away from the conversation, I don't know if the Flames are knocking on the door for a playoff spot like they were when the NHL was paused and ultimately shut down, or at least the regular season was stopped. So Tkachuk is the guy for me. I just think emotionally, stirring the pot, throw in the production. He was the most productive player on the team this year. He was the guy for me. It was a slim margin with him and Lindholm, though. But and Klein was Klein did not agree with me that Giordano should be in the conversation, or at the very least in the same realm. That's fair, Klein. I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I?
No, well, I said he was third, but I thought he was a distant third behind Tkachuk and Lindholm.
Okay, and the only reason I think Giordano should be in the same conversation, in the same realm, Willsey, is just because, like, I know that he's not going to win the Norris this year, and I know that he hasn't been as impactful this year as he was last season, but he still averages almost 24 minutes a game, 2.5 minutes more than anybody else on the team. He plays in every situation against the best players on every team, and does so a lot and very well. And he's still been this team's number one defenseman, and I believe a number one defenseman in the NHL. And I think the impact of losing him for 70 games, I think would have been massive for this team. So that's why I know that it's tough, because last year he won the Norris and was so good, and the offensive numbers were so impressive. So I it's tough when you compare season to season, but I still think he needs to be in the conversation.
I agree with you 100%. He would be third on my ballot as well, because he is no ifs, ands, or buts, the Flames' best defenseman. And as far as consistency is concerned, I would probably put him number two behind Elias Lindholm. And I think you could probably make a pretty strong case that Mark Giordano, even though he wasn't as productive this season as he was last season when he won the Norris Trophy, you could make a pretty strong case that he was the Flames' most consistent player, certainly defensively this season. Didn't matter who he was partnered with. He's one of those guys who you can use in all situations. He makes his partner, he makes his teammates better. So I'm with you. If the Flames had lost him for any length of time, I think that would have been as crippling, maybe more crippling, than losing an Elias Lindholm or a Matthew Tkachuk or any other player. The interesting thing is, if, and we had this conversation at the 40 or 41 game mark, who was the Flames' first half MVP? I think we all agreed it was David Rittich, but Cam Talbot was the better of the two goaltenders in the second half. So, you know, he kind of fell out of this conversation a little bit, but yeah, I think he has the potential moving forward. If he really can establish himself as this team's number one guy, or at least the number one A on this team, he can be in the conversation moving forward as well, especially given his age. But, you know, as far as the Flames are concerned, I think they have a bunch of guys who can be their MVP moving forward. Johnny Gaudreau should be in that conversation. Sean Monahan could be in that conversation. Hey, look at the finish to the season Michael Backlund had. If he had been better out of the gate, I think he'd be in this conversation. So for me, it's Elias Lindholm over Matthew Tkachuk by a hair, but I think you can make a really strong case for both of those guys. And Pat, the reason I kind of flip-flopped to Tkachuk for a while this afternoon was the argument that you made, that he is the emotional leader of this team. I do think there was a stretch where he didn't appear to be as engaged in games as we know he can be, because he can be the focal point for not only the Flames, but for whoever they're playing. I thought there was a stretch this season where he wasn't that guy on a nightly basis, but he is most nights. And I do think he's going to be the captain of this team, probably when Mark Giordano isn't anymore. And that's one of the big reasons why.
It's our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. He is Derek Wills, the voice of the Flames. We have Peter Klein, and my name is Pat Steinberg, completing our roundtable. All right, guys, we talked a lot about the blue line yesterday, and we talked about it mostly from a five-on-five pairings perspective, and what way will the pairings break down, and you know, who would be in and who wouldn't be in from a lineup perspective? Would they possibly go seven defensemen? So let's keep the defense conversation going on the roundtable today, but I'll come at it from a slightly different perspective. Take a look at the power play. And from what we saw during 70 games of the regular season, how would you structure your blue line and your blue liners when it comes to the number one and number two power play units? What would it look like ideally if you were putting guys in place?
This is a tough question to answer without knowing who's going to be in and who's going to be out. But I think it's an interesting question. If I had to pick one guy who would be on the power play, period, it would be Mark Giordano. If he's not quarterbacking the Flames' first power play, he'll be quarterbacking the Flames' second power play, in my opinion. He'll be out there for sure. Erik Gustafsson, for me, is the wild card here, fellas, because as we talked about yesterday, I think he'll be in the lineup when the Flames start their best of five series versus the Jets, but I'm not 100% sure that he will be. I think because he's so different from Derek Forbort and they bring very different things to the table, it's an interesting conversation. So if Gustafson is in, I think he'll probably quarterback the Flames' first power play unit, which would move Giordano down to the quarterback of the second power play unit. But if he's not in, then I think Giordano quarterbacks the first power play unit. And who's quarterbacking the second one? I'd kind of like to see Rasmus Anderson in that spot. I know he doesn't move laterally as well as Noah Hanifin does or TJ Brody does, but what he has is a threatening shot. His shot might not be as hard as some of the top guys in the league, but the Flames have a skills competition next season and they do the hardest shot. I think he'd have a shot to win it. I think his shot is that heavy. So Rasmus Anderson is a guy for me that has so much upside offensively that he has yet to reach, but I think sooner or later he's going to get there. So if it's not him, it's probably going to be TJ Brody, maybe Noah Hanifin at times, but for me, it's going to be Erik Gustafsson and Mark Giordano. And if Gustafsson's not in, Mark Giordano and Rasmus Anderson are the guys I'd use.
Yeah, I'm relatively similar there. I would go Gustafsson on the first one and go with a four forward look on your first power play unit. And then on the second one, I would go with Giordano and Rasmus Anderson. They're two guys who played together for a decent chunk of the season, so there's a familiarity with it. Like Derek said, Rasmus Anderson's shot is a weapon. I think he's still figuring out A, how good it is, and B, how best to utilize it and when best to utilize it. But once he gets that part figured out, and I think having the captain there will help him with that. But once he gets that figured out, I think that is a major weapon on that blue line. So I would go Gustafsson one and then Giordano and Anderson on the second one.
And that's kind of interesting because I guess part of it comes down to too, Derek, is are we talking about, because of what Klein just said, are we talking about four forwards on both power play units or just on the number? I think we're all in agreement that the four forwards, Tkachuk, Lindholm, Monahan, Gaudreau, and a defenseman, there's your number one power play unit, bam. But do you use two defensemen on the second power play unit? I think for me, I like the idea of having two D-men because I want both Anderson and Giordano on the power play, and there's a way you could do it. Because I would go Gustafsson on that number one power play unit while he's here. I don't know if he's going to be here next season, but I do know he's here for this season, and what he gives you and could potentially bring you there is very high end. And I think he meshes really well from a skill set perspective with those four forwards. But I'm with you, Derek. I want Anderson to get some time there, but Giordano also needs to be there. One's a left shot, one's a right shot. I think you could do that, have three forwards on your second unit and then go Giordano Anderson there too. That's the way I would go if I were moving chess pieces around.
Yeah, I guess I should have qualified my answer by saying that's if the Flames go with 1-3-1, four forward, one defenseman power plays on both units. And there's no guarantee they're going to do that. They did that at times this season, but there were also times where they used four forwards and one defenseman on the first unit and then three forwards and two defensemen on the second unit. And with their depth on defense, maybe that's what they do coming out of this pause and then into that best of five series against the Jets. But it's an interesting conversation to have. And the one thing that I like and that I know the Flames like about Erik Gustafsson quarterbacking that first power play is his deception. His shot isn't as heavy as Mark Giordano's or as heavy as Rasmus Anderson's, but it doesn't have to be heavy with the way he quarterbacks that first power play. He has deception and the ability to look guys off and freeze guys or to get guys going in the wrong direction to open things up for the other guys on the ice or to open up a shooting lane for himself. And as Jeff Ward pointed out during some conversations that we had with him both on and off the air, he's also very good at finding guys' sticks. I think the best guy in the game at that is Brent Burns. He gets the puck on the Sharks' power play. He works that point, and he's so good at firing the puck into the slot. Sometimes it's going 10 feet wide of the net, but he's looking for guys' sticks for those high redirects. And I think Gustafsson, I wouldn't put him in the same category as Burns as far as that's concerned, but I don't think the Flames have another defenseman who can do what he does that has his skill set on the power play. So if he's in, I'm sure he's going to be on one of the two power play units and probably quarterbacking that first unit.
Good conversation. And one of the things that I will definitely be watching for when training camp starts off next week. It's Derek Wills, Peter Klein, Pat Steinberg, Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Last one, little kicker to finish it off. Because, you know, we got to spread out the Flames topics until August. Let me ask you this, gentlemen. We've all been more at home, eating out less, cooking for ourselves more since mid-March. I know I have. It's been quite the adjustment. What is the best thing that you have learned to cook since the pandemic started? Something new that you did not cook before that you cook today thanks to the pandemic?
Well, it's a tough question because I'm a creature of habit. So I've cooked a lot of the same things over and over and over again. I've ordered a lot of pizza in the last 3 months. It's a miracle I keep losing weight with the way that I've been eating, but I have been. I guess for me, I have given the, and I don't want to throw out names because I don't think they're sponsors of our radio station, so I don't want to give any free advertising out, but you can order food online or on your phone through an app, and then it gets delivered to your house in a box, and then basically they give you recipe cards, and you make the meal yourself. They give you all the things you need, all the ingredients, all the instructions, and then you put it together yourself. So using those services, I've cooked a lot of different things, but I still love my steak and risotto or my steak and my pasta. I've eaten a lot of Annie's mac and cheese the last 3 months. It's kind of a lazy meal to make, but it tastes good all the time. I guess I just gave them a free plug.
When I was working at the Superstore, people love
it. It's so good.
I was doing the mobile orders. People would get like 20 Annie's at a time. Oh,
you know what? I got to tell you, I've been a big fan of Kraft Dinner. This is another conversation probably for another day, but since we're on the topic, I've been a big fan of Kraft Dinner my whole life. I think it's the first thing that I learned how to quote unquote cook when I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. I'd come home from school. I'd be hungry and I wasn't allowed to put water on the stove and boil it, but I did it anyway. And I'd make Kraft Dinner, but I think they've changed something. I don't know if it's the cheese sauce. I think they've changed the pasta for sure. It's not as good as it used to be, but I discovered Annie's mac and cheese. I think it's a lot better. So you can mix that with anything, by the way. You can put some hot dogs in the barbecue, cut them up, throw it in with the mac and cheese. You can have leftover steak, or you could even cook a beautiful steak and have Annie's mac and cheese on the side. Boy, I hope Annie's mac and cheese becomes a sponsor with all this love that I'm giving them. But I haven't really been all that creative in the kitchen, fellas. I've been stealing recipes from those home delivery services, but sticking with kind of the staples as well. How about you guys?
Planner?
For me here, it's been some homemade pizzas in a couple different ways. One, living in Mission, we buy ready-made pizza dough from Mercado just down the street.
Okay.
And so we've been doing a few things with that. But also, if we have a couple wraps left over after a taco night or whatever, just put some sauce on that, put it on the stove for a couple of minutes. Fantastic little quick little personal pizza that you can make, and you can add, like, doesn't just have to be traditional tomato sauce with cheese and meat. You can add a couple different salad dressings as your base. That can liven things up a little bit. Love putting some feta on there as well. So you can mix and match a little bit. So the homemade personal pizzas have been the thing that I've grown as a chef here in the last little bit.
Whenever you say the term taco night, all I think of is the stupid TikTok song. Taco night, I got the grocery store.
I'm pretty happy I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you're a TikTok fan, you'll know. If you're not, you won't.
I'm not 11.
Here is mine. I try to cook low carb, and I kind of was like, you know what, screw it. We're in a pandemic. I'm going to eat carbs. But now that we're starting to get back to a little closer to normal, I've gone back to a little bit more low carb. So I like to kind of have the feel, the taste of something with a lot of carbs in it without the actual carbs. Like, so for instance, I'll cook ground turkey or ground chicken, and I'll put some basil in and some tomato sauce, like some spaghetti sauce or some four cheese sauce or something like that, so that it's still low carb, but you still get the taste of if you're eating spaghetti or lasagna or something like that. Mm. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try that with something Mexican. I'll do even more of a Mexican feel. So I bought some of the old El Paso taco mix. So I'll cook up the ground turkey, and I'll put the taco mix on the ground turkey. And then you put some queso sauce and you cook it into the queso sauce. So it's like, ooh, it's still gooey and cheesy, and it kind of feels like you're eating nachos, but you're not doing it with the so that's the one that I've discovered during this. It was kind of like a creation that I came up with in my head. So as and it actually turns out okay. It's actually been pretty good.
It sounds really good. I've got one more. It's not one that I learned how to cook during COVID-19, but kind of brought it back. Hadn't made it in a number of years. First time I ever saw it, tried it, tasted it was when I was in Jamaica. Jerk chicken pasta. So marinate some boneless, skinless chicken breasts in jerk marinade overnight if you can. A couple of days if you want to. Really get that marinade soaked into the chicken. And then you cut up some bell peppers. I like to mix it up. Do green, red, yellow, orange, lots of color. Some onion and one Scotch bonnet pepper, because they are ridiculously hot. So get a little oil in the pan, saute the onions and the peppers, cook your chicken on the barbecue if you can. And then what you do is you put one tablespoon of, it's like concentrated jerk paste, but really, really hot. You don't want to put much more than that because you're going to end up sweating the whole night after eating that. You might end up on the toilet the next morning or maybe even later that night because it's too spicy, but it might be too much information. But anyway, so you've got the marinated and then grilled chicken breast. You've got the onions and the peppers. The Scotch bonnet's key. You've got the jerk paste. And then you use a rosé sauce. And then, of course, you cook up whatever kind of pasta you want. I like the shells because then it kind of grabs all the other good stuff. And you get a nice bite, which it's spicy but delicious. Not low on carbs, though, Pat.
I like it. I like it. It sounds good, but carbs thing scares me away.
Did I ruin it with the whole toilet?
Yeah, I was a little offside. Yeah. You probably should have left that.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Nope.
No, I worked on the mornings long enough that mentioning toilets doesn't offend me too much. So you're still good.
It doesn't offend me. It's just that.
Nope.
I could have
gone. Toilet snowflake.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
I am canceling toilet talk. All right.
Canceling the morning show then.
With that, on that note, have yourself a wonderful rest of your afternoon, Mr. Wills. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too, guys. Have a good night.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once in a lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary Airport.